And welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers and we read comics.
And we ask ourselves, what is a trade paperback? Because we kind of read like a graphic novel this week, but that counts.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard to tell if you hold them right next to each other. You really have to look up whether or not it was released in individual issues.
Yeah.
This one is separated by individual chapters, I guess. And so...
But who cares?
That could have been the same thing. We don't know.
Yeah. What is a graphic novel versus a trade paperback?
Well, are you asking me or are you just saying...
I'm just, you know, philosophically, what does it mean?
Well, trade paperback is a collection of individual issues that were then released later for mass consumption.
And then it's made into a graphic novel, technically. Because if you go in the graphic novel section in Barnes and Noble...
They don't know.
Then you see, you know... Trades.
No, they don't have a graphic novel section.
It's they do.
Well, it's not separate from their other comics.
Correct. They lump in the trades as well.
Yeah.
We go off the Barnes and Noble definition
is just,
here.
It's just the whole thing is put out all at once.
Yeah.
For those who forgot or don't know.
Yeah.
We have different time segments in our description. You can jump around to the pull list or Back Matter Matters or the book, which is American Born Chinese. But we start with the news.
The hard-hitting news.
Nathan, hella news today.
Big news this week. The Eisners were announced.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah, we'll do that up top.
Real quick. Okay, for some reason, I was just bored at work today, and I'm like, I wonder if the Eisner nominations have been released yet. Just
randomly?
Normal thought. Normal question.
Okay.
I Google it, and 30 minutes ago, Comic Nerd or Comic Something posted, like, this year's Eisner nominees. I'm like, oh, they just dropped.
Wow.
Like 30 minutes after I thought about it for some reason.
It's like you've got an in.
I guess.
There.
Yeah, I guess so. And so do you have the list?
I do.
All right, let's hear it.
We have best short story. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm going to read the ones I recognize because that's how I do things here.
Yep.
Finding Batman by Kevin Conroy and Jay Bone in the DC Pride 2022.
Rest in peace.
Which is very nice. Yeah, rest in peace. There's also... a short story called You Get It by Jonathan Hickman and Marco Cicchetto in Amazing Fantasy number 1000. So that's pretty cool. Best single issue / one shot. We have Batman One Bad Day, The Riddler by Tom King and Mitch Gerads. That title, by the way, has two semicolons. It's Batman, : One Bad Day, : The Riddler, which is crazy.
Good.
There's a Moon Knight Black, White, and Blood. There is Mary Jane and Black Cat Beyond by Jed McKay and C.F. Villa. So a lot of Marvel ones this year, it seems like.
Not that much compared to other publishers, but...
Yeah, that's fair. Best continuing series, we have Daredevil by Chip and Marco Cicchetto. The Department of Truth. The Nice House on the Lake. We have Nightwing and She-Hulk this year by Rainbow Rowell. Best limited series, Batman One Bad Day. The Human Target, Miracle Man, Superman Space Age by Mark Russell and Michael Allred.
You had one issue with that.
I did, but I enjoyed it.
thought it was Eisner-worthy?
I'm always rooting for Mark Russell and Michael Allred. So.
Mark Russell is in it every year. What do you mean you're rooting for him?
And I root for him every year. He had Not All Robots.
It's like rooting for LeBron, you know?
That's fine.
I hope he does good this year.
He's the GOAT. No, I don't know if he's necessarily LeBron. Tom King is like LeBron of Eisner's, it seems like.
Tom King is like Steph Curry, I would say. He's got some good years, he's got some bad years.
He's got shit there every year. What are you talking about? Ever since he got there since Vision, you know, every single year he's there. So,
but you don't even read all his shit, you know?
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
What shit have I not read?
Rorschach.
That's true. You got me there. Anyway, best new series, Love Everlasting, Tom King, by the way. Public Domain by Chip Zdarsky. No, but okay. I chose not to.
Ah.
I guess I choose not to for all the other ones, but I didn't even start Love Everlasting. Public Domain by Chip, rooting for Chip.
Nice, yeah, he's in there a lot.
Traveling to Mars by Mark Russell.
I actually started reading that today. It's very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From Ablaze Comics?
Yeah. They have a couple things up there.
He's always doing like the random publishers. He's got some stuff at like Ahoy and, you know, Ablaze, I guess.
He's trying to get in early, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's see. There's some kids publications. Don't really care about that.
Wait. Just speaking of the kids publications, Clementine.
Best publications for teens. Yep. Clementine by Tilly Walden is on there.
I said Clementine. I'm like, wait, that's the orange. But no, that's the character. Yeah.
Yep.
By Tilly Walden.
It could be two things. Yeah.
I bet she's got it.
I bet she does. But there's also Do a Power Bomb by Daniel Warren Johnson. Same category.
I didn't know that was in that category.
I didn't know that was a teen publication. I don't know. Why is it only 13 through 17? You know, that seems like a very adult concept to just wrestle and avenge your dead mother.
I don't know. And then you're like in a wrestling competition from the devil, you know?
Yeah. So that one's categorized weirdly, but
I'm glad
Daniel Warren Johnson got another one.
Sure.
Yeah. What was it last year? He did Beta Ray Bill, right?
Yeah.
Best graphic memoir. There's ducks in there.
Oh, yeah.
If that wins, we have to read it, I feel like.
Okay.
Best writer, Tom King. Batman Killing Time. Not my favorite. Batman One Bad Day. Probably pretty good. Gotham City Year One. I love me some Slam Bradley.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Human Target. That's probably going to be the reason why he wins. Or Supergirl. We also have Mark Russell, James Tynion, and Chip Zdarsky. I feel like it was the same as last year. There's also Grace Ellis, who wrote Flung Out in Space. You know what? I'm rooting for Grace.
Yeah.
Everybody else has had their time in the
light. We love an underdog.
Chip's won some. I'm sure Tynion's won some. I'm sure Mark Russell has won some. So it's like...
Yeah, they all got it.
Step aside.
Maybe they're like, creators. Oh, man, we got to... not have just white men on this list.
Yeah, that's true. Best writer / artist, Kate Beaton, Ducks. Mm-hmm. Junji Ito, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen him, or at least I didn't know.
Black Paradox, The Liminal Zone.
Those are two books last year. It's crazy.
Zoe Thorogood for It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth.
I heard that was amazing.
Yeah, I still need to read that. Best penciler inker or penciler inker team, we have Sean Phillips and Bruno Redondo and Greg Smallwood and Alvaro Martinez Bueno, who did Nice House on the Lake.
Nice.
All very good people.
It's got to be Smallwood, right?
Yeah, 100% it's got to be Smallwood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like bet money. are there bets for that kind of thing? You can bet on like esports now. So it's like.
Right. I'm sure there's
is there betting for like place. Oscars?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay. Mm. We should start this.
Eisner bets.
Yeah, Eisner bets. Because I apply as for the Eisners every year and they still haven't gotten back to me. I don't know why.
There must be something wrong.
Yes. No, I didn't.
The cutoff is June 2nd, so get on that.
Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it again.
Okay.
I always try and gas us up as like this like really sophisticated like thing. No one's ever gotten back to me though, so it was dumb.
Next time. Maybe the earlier the better.
I'll have like ChatGPT like gas us up and maybe they'll use like some sort of wording that's like better and it'll trigger something in their system
to... I don't know about that. We'll see.
If we do get accepted, do we have to read like everything?
No,
like
surely not. We just have to submit our votes, you know.
But I would assume if we're
like, if we do, that's gonna be like a pretty fucking brutal couple weeks of comic reading, because we'll do like
an episode of everything,
four episodes a week, you know. Every category is a different
like
week.
Am I gonna have to read all five nominations from best adaptation from another medium?
Yeah,
because that sounds crazy. Anyway, where was I? Okay, best painter, Lee Bermejo, who did A Vicious Circle. We have Zoe Thorogood for Rain. And that's all I know there. Best cover artist, Jen Bartel for She-Hulk, Bruno Redondo, Nightwing. He has been killing it this year.
He is very
Alex
good.
Ross, obviously. Zoe Thorogood for Joe Hill's Reign. Sana Takeda for Montres. Best coloring, Jordi Belair, Jean-Francois Bellew, Dave McCaig, Jacob Phillips, Alex Ross, and Josh Johnson for The Fantastic Four.
Let's go, Jordi.
And Diana Sousa. Yeah, I think Jordi is probably my favorite of here. It's crazy that, like... Alex Ross is like, I guess he did have a pretty big year, right?
He did Fantastic Four.
Is he always in the nominations for like covers?
Yeah, he's always doing covers.
That's true. Are they like that good though? It seems like he kind of cashes in some of them.
Subjectively, yes.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. I'm just being dumb. Best lettering, Pat Brosseau, who does Batman The Night.
Nate Picos.
We do have Nate Picos in there for Black Hammer.
Woo!
Stan Sakai, of course.
Oh.
he's
the
LeBron
back.
Of lettering. And then...
No, he's like the Tom Brady of lettering, dude. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Let's see. Best comics-related periodical / journalism. I just like panel by panel. It's by Hassan Oatsmane Elhow.
Okay.
He's like a letterer now, but really good magazine. I subscribed to it for a couple weeks.
That's probably all the...
That's probably all the good ones.
All the ones
Best that... digital comic? Barnstormers?
By Scott Snyder?
By Scott Snyder. That's the only one I know. Why don't they have...
Isn't Lore Olympus in there?
No. Maybe that was in it last year.
Well, Lore Olympus is in one of the categories this year.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Lore Olympus is best webcomic.
Okay.
So there's webcomics and there's digital comics.
I think webcomics is... I think digital is maybe like it was only released digitally on normal platforms, you know? But webcomics, like you couldn't get it on like Comixology.
It's not from like a publisher, I guess?
Yeah, like independently published probably.
It's kind of funny because they have the URLs for the webcomic ones.
Sick. Yeah, good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway... Pretty fun. I love the Eisners. We're going to do some Eisner books probably.
Yeah. We'll probably just fill in the gaps until that comes in.
Yeah. Whatever's good, you know, as decided by a group of judges, not us, but maybe.
But we might decide who wins though.
If we do, if I get a response and they're like, you know what? Your show's pretty good. You're the LeBron of comic book podcasting. And they're like, do you want to read every single book by June 2nd? Do you think we could do that? Because I don't think we can. Like I've read the Human Target.
Damn, so that's like there. 2 weeks, dude.
I know.
We'd have to have like no other the life.
Wait, is that when it is? San Diego Comic-Con?
Oh, no. It's in July this year. So okay. We'd have more time. Just the cutoff for the voting.
Duck's like 400 pages.
Yeah, but like it's like four panels a page.
Okay.
It's like fair. This.
Okay. I could do it.
I downloaded a sample of it and it is pretty good. It's not dense or anything.
It's Obama's favorite from last year.
Obama likes it. It's good enough for me.
I want to know what comics Obama's reading. And then he's like, no, this isn't part of my best list. You know?
Yeah. He's like,
who's recommending him books? Because surely it's somebody,
he's
right?
He's got a guy.
He's got a, can I be Obama's comic book guy?
It's probably Tom King. Because he was in like the FBI.
I'm sure. Yeah.
So he's got
he's still got Obama's email. So
right. He's like, here you go. You're welcome.
That'd be so cool if you could be like
and read
the guy that recommends him like TV shows and like books and stuff.
That'd be the best job.
That would be.
But then you got to watch like all the stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like being like a movie critic. You have to like watch like all the movies, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. But it'd be really cool at the same time to be like, I really think Obama would like do a powerbomb, you know?
hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Do you like wrestling? Do you want to like wrestling?
Anyway, what else do we have for news?
Oh, man, that was a big chunk of it. Yeah. Speaking of Black Hammer as the Nate Picos nominee for Best Letter, we have Black Hammer The End coming August 30th. It is a 6-issue miniseries described as the end is the beginning of the next phase of Black Hammer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So
you thought it was the end by reading the title.
It's the end of Black Hammer, but like the character of the Black Hammer. It's not the end of all Black Hammer.
That's probably the last days of Black Hammer, which I already told you about.
Oh, that's right. That's why. Okay.
This is Black Hammer, : the end. Described. The end is the beginning of the next phase. So this is
he's turning into the MCU.
This is the fucking end game, Nathan. And then I'll start phase two or
it's
whatever.
Start the BHCU phase two. That's awesome.
So that's pretty exciting.
If Black Hammer were to make an adaptation, we'd want it to be a TV show, right? HBO.
Sure, like HBO.
Because I don't think.
Well, yeah, because like
really crush a movie unless it was like a lot, but that's
No, you know what would work is if they had like the budget of like Doom Patrol and had it on like Max, you know, HBO Max or whatever, that could work really well.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, yeah, that'd be cool.
There's an Immortal Thor announcement from Al Ewing and Martin Cocolo. I guess Al Ewing has done a bunch of Immortal.
He did Immortal Hulk.
There's like one other one, I guess, but yeah, he's trying to do that again, but for Thor.
So. Mortal Iron Fist?
That'd be kind of cool.
But no,
did he actually do that?
Yeah, maybe he did that.
I don't think so.
Okay. So he's got an immortal line.
I guess so, but it's
immortal
only
Al Ewing.
Immortal Ewing, yeah.
Nathan.
What?
We got a hot scoop.
What's a hot scoop?
That's confirmed by creators of Bird King. Bird King Volume 2 is coming this December.
Was it November?
December. The last one came out in November.
Oh, okay.
He commented on our post. He said, thanks for reading. Volume 2 comes out in December.
Let's fucking go, dude.
And I'm pretty sure I've Googled when the second one comes out, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So it's a hot scoop, Nathan.
I thought you...
We got an in.
We do. This is hot news.
Yeah, hot off the presses.
Trade Waiters exclusive.
Yeah.
We could actually quote Daniel Friedman as well.
Yeah.
Now, that book was dope. Everybody should go read it. If you didn't listen to that episode or whatever, go buy the book and then listen to the episode. Yeah. This is great.
So pretty exciting.
So... there's like some spoilers that came out. I don't know if you saw this.
About what?
About Spider-Man number 26.
Oh, I saw that something exciting happened, but then I saw like a tweet saying like it was just kind of random.
I'm going to talk about it. Book comes out May 31st. If you're reading Spider-Man, I'm sorry. But
how'd the spoilers come out?
I don't know, but it came out like super early.
Skip a couple minutes if you don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah. Kamala Khan dies, I guess, in Spider-Man number 26.
Okay.
There's a big uproar.
Oh, I saw a tweet saying like she's going to be back in like a month or two.
There's a big theory that because the Marvel's movie is coming out, I believe this year, right?
They want to reboot it or something?
They are going to bring her back using Krakoa because you can bring people back with Krakoa because she's an X-Men, right?
She's an Inhuman.
Inhuman, sorry. Wait. No, they're going to make her. There's a theory that they're going to try and make her an X-Men. And use Krakoa to bring her back, and then she's going to have her movie powers instead. I don't think that's was going to happen, but she will, I assume, be back. But anyway, that got leaked, and then Marvel released that there's going to be a one-shot called Fallen Friend, The Death of Miss Marvel. And it's got Spider-Man right there front and center, which is weird. And so that's going to happen. But what's kind of cool about it is that G. Willow Wilson's coming back to write that one-shot, so that's pretty neat.
Interesting.
But it was just like really weird and I couldn't get away from it. I just like kept scrolling. I was like, whatever, come on, Colin dies. Like all good characters, I feel like die at least once.
You know?
So, and she's not going to die for forever. People were like pissed because she's like the one, you know, Muslim Marvel character or whatever that they really have that's popular. And then they like kill her. But obviously she's not going to die for forever. So,
right.
So that's interesting. Also, another thing that leaked, I think.
Speaking of death, Nathan.
No, one more thing that leaked. Okay. There's going to be a Green Lantern War Journal.
Oh, cool.
Comic book series.
That sounds really good.
It's going to have...
Garth Ennis writing?
No. Ah, that would be kind of sick.
That'd be so lit.
It'll be Philip Kennedy Johnson and artist Montos. And it's going to be Green Lantern War Journal. It's going to star John Stewart because he was in the war. Sounds pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Nathan, have you been missing The Walking Dead, the TV show?
I'm pretty sure everybody has.
Yeah. Well, don't you worry. Because we got a trailer for The Walking Dead, Dead City.
With Negan, right?
With Negan and Maggie, which is the...
Oh, she's cool.
Yeah, she got annoying, but she's cool. and it's a team-up buddy cop thing, and it comes June 18th.
Are they homies?
I doubt it because he smashed her husband's head.
Oh, yeah, Glenn.
Yeah. So a little bit of beef there, I'd imagine. I'm sure it's been squashed. You know, water, like under, his head. Water under the bridge, Nathan.
Yeah.
So that's coming to AMC. Keep a lookout.
I mean, I like Negan.
Mark your calendars.
People like Negan.
I'm glad Jeffrey Dean Morgan's got a job.
Yeah. People, I think, checked out probably after Negan. So they're like
half the viewership. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, let's just do Negan because people like him. So yeah,
more Negan. So I think this is some stuff that is probably straying away from the source material, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a franchise anymore to just like start a whole new show with like probably a pretty expensive actor. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
speaking of TV shows, Nathan,
what else we got?
Disney Plus and Hulu, the apps themselves are going to be merging to have this. All the content in one place.
And it's still going to be called Disney Plus, right?
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like... So, rest in peace, Hulu.
It's interesting.
Or maybe they call it Dislu or something.
Dislu?
Or his Hoosley?
Hoosley Plus?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. They also have like ESPN too, right? So, are they going to lump that in as well?
I think you can get ESPN as a separate app, but you can also watch sports on Hulu. So but
doesn't Disney own like ESPN?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy, dude. They have too much money. Soon we're just going to be buying Disney TVs.
Maybe. I think that's quite much further down than you think.
I think it's in the next 10 years.
They make no technology.
What are you talking about? They have some of the most incredible technology in their Disneyland parks.
The lightsabers don't count.
That's technology, is it not?
Anyway, that's becoming one app. Kind of cool, I guess. I don't really care. Disney was kind of only for Disney stuff, which seemed like it would lack on. And Hulu was just tight.
Yeah.
So less apps, I'm here for it.
As long as they keep funding Solar Opposites, I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm a Disney fan.
They can't make all those Hulu jokes anymore, but
now they've made Disney Hulu Plus jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. New joke. Same joke, but new.
I'd love for kids on like Disney Plus to just accidentally wander into Solar Opposites because they see a cartoon or something.
It's not that bad of a show.
It's not great either. I don't know if we really knew the release date, but in Hell We Fight, the new John Layman book with artist Jock. No, not that Jock. A different Jock. Okay. Comes June 7th.
Whoa, that's cool.
So pretty Big soon. W.
He's coming to Comic-Con too. We all knew that, but...
John Layman?
Yeah. Phoenix?
Is he?
It was like just announced.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But like, we knew that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a early copy or something if we, you know, ask nicely.
Yeah, true.
Nathan, Daredevil ending at number 14 in August.
Definitely have to catch up then.
Number one in September. The reboot or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And then that will include a different creative team.
What else is Chip doing at Marvel? Is it just Daredevil?
Yep.
Wow. He's phased out of Marvel?
He's a Batman boy now.
That's true.
Nathan, Five Nights at Freddy's trailer or posters.
Is that a comic book, Daniel?
Yeah, it sure is.
Is it?
They have comics, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I checked before I wrote
it
down.
Do you have to do one?
No, it comes out in October.
The comic book?
The show on Peacock. It's a show on Peacock. Maybe it's a movie.
I think it's a movie.
Coming out October 27th. I'm not going to read Five Nights at Freddy's during our horror month because that's such an important month.
That would be kind of funny, though.
Maybe the week before or something.
I'm down for the week before.
Okay. And Loki season 2 coming October 6th.
Cool. Wasn't a big fan of season 1, to be honest. But
season 1 was the best season of Marvel television.
You're insane for that.
No.
What are you fucking saying to me right now?
No, it was the best. It was so good. Owen Wilson, I win.
That's you do get points for that, but yeah.
Okay, real quick. What was better?
I liked WandaVision better.
Okay, moving on.
She-Hulk was pretty fun too, but for different reasons.
What was?
She-Hulk.
Oh, no, yeah, this one.
Yeah.
But not the best, Nathan. But we're here to talk about the book this week, which is American Born Chinese, coming to Disney Plus as a show the same day this drops, I think, probably.
Yep.
But little did you know, people watching, that this was a comic book first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michelle Yeoh's going to be in the show. Is that right?
Yep.
That's cool.
Did you buy this?
I did. And it forced me to use the Kindle like version.
Yeah. So does it have like the Disney...
Yeah.
Show like cover.
And I didn't want that.
So Michelle Yeoh's in like the corner there.
Yeah. She looks photoshopped in, but.
Yeah, she's not actually flying, Nathan.
She can't actually do that?
Not that high, at least.
What is her character?
That's a great question. I have no fucking clue.
You know, I'm sure they extrapolated from this a little bit.
You have to probably guess that it's not going to be
one-to-one.
Panel for panel, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Did we say who was by Jean Luen Yang, colored by Lark Pien? Daniel, this was pretty cool. I just hate the Kindle experience on Comixology.
Oh, where like it kind of zooms on the...
It like kind of zooms, but it's like, come on, you're not really.
Yeah.
I absolutely hated that. And Disney's trying to make me hate Chinese people, I think. Because I was kind of annoyed just reading this racist whole thing. Yeah. But honestly, this book was pretty good. I wasn't sure where it was going or what was happening until the end happened. And I'm like, this is a deep message.
And what is that message in?
It's that you should just be who you are. Be authentic. Don't try and change yourself for others because you think you should.
All right, we'll talk more about that later.
Wow. Okay.
No, like,
is that not the message?
I don't know.
I think by the end I was like, okay, I get what they were going for this whole time.
I think some things imply a message, but you know, for some people,
this 100%,
maybe like me, don't really pick up on it. right away.
So you just didn't understand anything that was happening this whole time?
I understand like 85% of it.
Okay, that's pretty good then. Then you should know. Anyway, what did you think about it?
I thought it had some great pacing. You know, I blew through this in like a pretty short amount of time, which was refreshing.
Yeah, what is it, like 230 something pages?
Yeah, so, reading like an hour or so.
Yeah, it feels pretty swift though. And then I think that the format is that it's square. Is the book normally square? Is it like a...
No, it's like, it's probably like Clementine sized.
Okay.
But with like those panels that are a bit smaller.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just kept thinking when I was reading this, like, was like, why Gene Luen Yang just kind of like, why this is the thing that he like decided to make like that year or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like, what was the inspiration and where did these stories kind of come from,
mm-hmm.
and what, like the message that you're talking about, like what was he really trying to convey with that? And it's very lighthearted in some spots. It's very purposefully racist to express like what people go through and the things that they hear, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And how Asians are portrayed in like media, you know?
Definitely.
And so, but I think maybe just some of the meaning and the signs just kind of went like over my head a little bit, but I was trying to understand as much as possible, you know?
Maybe it's not for you, Daniel.
Yeah, I know for a fact he didn't make this with me in mind.
Yeah.
But I definitely enjoyed a lot of it. The artwork's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great artist. He's great. Yeah, he's like a genuine like cartoonist, it feels like.
He can just be like an artist, yeah.
This feels like it could translate very well into like an animated show.
Yeah.
Like pretty one-to-one, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if he's got more.
I would like to see that. So anyway, let's get into it, shall we?
Yep.
So there's like three different plots and then they all kind of like come together at the end. There's an ABC plot, obviously, but...
Spoilers, Aiden.
Anyway, we learn about this deity. Is it not deity?
I think if you're an ass, yeah, it's deity.
I think, well, I don't know, because sometimes I'll read things I don't say in my normal vernacular.
like deity. I took like a Art of Asia course in college, and
wow, you're so sophisticated.
And we learned about art,
such a deep
that
person.
Had deities in it, and my professor said deity a lot.
Okay, so, deity. There's a deity here and he's named Monkey King.
Yeah.
He was born from a rock and he made a kingdom where he led all the monkeys on earth. And then he was like, I want to go to dinner in heaven with the other deities. But they didn't let him in because he's not wearing any shoes. So he decided to fight everybody and leave. And that's pretty much his whole like first chapter, which is very sick. He was like kind of like pissed and he was just going to leave at first. And then he just kind of turns around and fights all the deities.
Yeah.
And the action's like super fun. Like he does a really good job filling like the panels, which is probably like not something that he even really did intentionally because he kind of gives himself just like a little square to work with.
Yeah.
But like with all the action and stuff, it's very fun. You know, there's like when he hits somebody, there's like the stars that like come out of their heads or yeah. whatever.
It gives it definitely like a vibe having these panels, mm-hmm. you know? And so I can appreciate sticking to that.
Yeah. Not the start I was expecting either for what I thought this book was.
Yeah, no. I think I somewhat expected it because I read like the wiki synopsis, like, or just the start of it. Because I'm like, what is this? You know what I mean?
Oh, like the... Okay, yeah.
Like, before I even decided on this book, I'm like, all right, is this something we should read or whatever? And so I expected the Monkey King part.
Yeah, I was like, what are we doing here? That's crazy. And then, so, chapter two, we meet Jin Wang, who lives and was born in San Francisco. But his parents are both, like, super hardworking Chinese immigrants. Jin Wang, like, starts elementary school, and he was immediately met with tons of just Chinese stereotypes from like his classmates and stuff. And then a few months later, Wei Chen from Taiwan transferred into his school, and Jin Wang did not like him because he's like, he was like kind of like hardwired to like, I guess, not like him because it would have been like competition or something, I guess, in his head. I don't know. Kids are kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Especially like these ones that are being super racist. But then they just bonded over Transformers. So
yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But I like this bit that he runs where like the teachers just get their names wrong and like the kids have to correct them. I think that's really funny. And then they're like, he immigrated here from China. And he's like, San Francisco. I think that's really funny because that's probably some shit that happens all the time. Absolutely. Like people just assume that he came here from somewhere else.
This has got to be just like a summary of, you know, his life in school, you know?
And like when Wei Chen comes in, the teacher's like, he and his family recently moved to our neighborhood all the way from China. And he's like, Taiwan, you know? So I think that's fun.
One of my favorite bits of this book is that Jin is like waiting in a waiting room for a Chinese herbalist. Mm-hmm. I guess like his mom or dad is doing something.
Yep.
And he's talking about how he's talking to the herbalist, this old lady that's at the front desk. And she's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he's like, a transformer. And she's like, what is that? And he's like, I don't think I can become a transformer, though. And he's like, and she's like, it's easy to become anything you wish, so long as you're willing to forfeit your soul.
Yeah.
And he's just like sits there like blank face.
He's like, what the fuck?
He's like,
which is kind of interesting because he thinks about her later. I'm just going to like,
yeah, go for
spoil
it. A little bit.
He like turns himself into a white person, but he had to sell his soul to do that essentially because he's giving up all of his like heritage and culture and stuff to just try and mimic what he thinks he should be.
Yeah, what he thinks he wants.
What he thinks he wants. Yeah. So I just like coming back to this point, I'm like, wow, I forgot that this herbalist was like a character. So very good storytelling on his part. I think it's hard enough to make friends at like this age. So I can definitely feel for him.
Especially being a new kid.
Yeah. Being a new kid. And then also feeling like you're alienated for your race on top of that. Make it super tough. But it's cool that they were, you know, able to bond over Transformers. Do you remember the sick toys at school in our days? Like the tech decks?
Oh, yeah. You do fucking flips on the slide?
I made...
Just hog the bottom of the slide?
My best friends to this day, we played tech decks.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Nice. No, I didn't. I don't know anybody who played
tech decks. I still have a tech deck.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Can you do a kick flip?
No, I'm more better at like 360 flips for some reason.
Yeah, that's probably the easier one. Some shove-its.
Yeah.
You know, chapter 3, we meet Daniel, who's trying to riz up this girl named Melanie during a study session at his place. But his cousin, Chin Ki, comes in and he's visiting America. And that's pretty much what this chapter is. But this dude is the most wild, stereotypical caricature of an Asian person ever. And that's obviously on purpose. But like, he reminds me of like the South Park Chinese like dudes.
Right.
The South Park Chinese characters. Like, I was reading him and like, I couldn't help but hear it in like Trey Parker's like,
yeah,
voice acting for a Chinese person. So it's obviously on purpose to just like represent what people think like Asian people are. But I like how he goes so far as to make his luggage just like really big Chinese boxes. Food to go boxes. Yeah, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that is something.
This is such a wild character. Even like the way that he writes his dialogue to like have that like
the accent
in it. Yeah.
It's at the bottom of these panels, it has like ha 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 and clap 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 or whatever.
Yeah,
to just kind of display that this is like a sitcom setting.
Yeah, which is kind of, it's like, it's weird, you know, like I like that part. I guess maybe he was trying to get us to think that this is like a sitcom.
Yeah, just kind of just so this is like a bit that I was just kind of confused by and like what he was trying to like get at, you know. I guess if it's just kind of, because it also plays into the story, and so that was where I got a little mixed up. But
yeah,
there's this some movie that's from like the 80s or something, and there's this white woman who lives in this apartment building, and a couple floors up there's this like Asian man who is like the landlord, I think.
Okay.
And the actor who plays him is a white man.
Great.
And it's like insane to watch nowadays.
Is he like trying to be Asian?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Like a lot. Like I have to.
Like a lot is funny.
What is that movie? I'll figure it out and let you know. But
okay, that's crazy. The next chapter, we get back to Monkey King. He issues a law that all monkeys must wear shoes, and then the Monkey King also starts to learn all of the different like disciplines. And so he basically just like learns a couple different powers, including like shape shifting and like size change and invulnerability. So he like changes his whole appearance and his name to try and like prove himself to like those heaven deities. But they send him a message saying that he's been summoned to death and he has to go to the underwater palace to get executed. Which is just insane that they would like send him a message and be like, can you come here so you can like die? That'd be cool. But it's kind of like a clever parallel to Jin Wang, who later changes himself to fit in better.
Okay, so this is a movie called Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Okay.
Actually, the movie came out in 1961. The actor who plays this is Mickey Rooney. I don't know if you've heard that name before. Yeah, so he plays a character called Mr. Yunioshi. And
do they have like a clip of it?
Yeah, let me find a clip. That'd be better.
I want to cringe from how racist it is. if you could pull that up. Mr. Goraitri. Oh my god. Mr. Goraitri. I am wrong there. Oh my god. Darling, I am sorry, but I lost my key. But that was 2 weeks ago. You cannot call. Oh, dude, what he's doing with his eyes. Oh my god. What he's doing with like his lip too, he's like trying to show his front teeth. It's so bad. That's fucking crazy.
Chin-Ki character is reminds me a lot of that. And I just saw this on like TikTok a couple months ago. I'm like, wow, yeah, well, just get an Asian guy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, where were we?
Yeah, so Monkey King is summoned to death. And they're like, hey, can you show up to like the Water Kingdom so we can like execute you? That'd be cool. Because he beat up all the deities. So he goes and he fights all the deities to prove himself. And then he's visited by Tsiyosa, the creator of existence. He's basically like the god of the Zeus, pretty much, of all the deities. And he's trying to get him like stop fooling around. And when the Monkey King refuses, he gets buried under like a mountain of rock. For hundreds of years.
Did you get to the bit where like he broke out of the panel?
Oh yeah, no. Well, so there's like a wild scene in there where he like challenges this god and he tries to like escape him, and he goes past reality, and then he finds like these five pillars of gold. He like carves something in there and then pees on it for some reason, but those are like this god's like fingers. And I was like, what is going on here?
It turns out later.
Yeah, but I do like the
showing panel. That he can't like escape him.
Yeah, know? Exactly. Because he's like, he is reality or whatever. And but yeah, I do really like this panel where he rides his cloud so far out that he like breaks reality and he breaks the panel to like break reality. I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
So that was that chapter. I guess he was like that for 500 years is what it said. So he's just like chilling there. And then the next chapter, Jin Wang has a crush on a girl in school named Amelia, who might like some other like dude in their class, but he's not sure. And then Jin talks about it with his friend, Wei Chen. Jin, you know, changes his hair to match the hair of the dude that Amelia likes. Later, Amelia and Wei are stuck in a closet, and Wei Chen like gasses up Jin. He's like, oh man, he's like my best friend. I owe everything for him, you know. And when Jin realizes that they're stuck in a closet, he, you know, gets them out, and then he asks Amelia on a date and she accepts. And I really like this representation of like a jolt in confidence, you know, because when he like lets her out, then like there's like this like electricity like coming out of his hair. And he's like, all right, I'm going to do this shit right now.
Yeah.
And then when she accepts, he's like thinking about it all night. And it's just like, yes, 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 yes. And that's like what he's thinking about. I think it's pretty cool.
Did you mention that he like got like a perm?
Yeah, so he changed his hair, which is basically like a perm, but it matches the white, the like other dude that Amelia likes.
Or he like, thinks that she likes.
That she likes, yeah, which is just some like white dude, but yeah. He's got funky hair. So yeah, that's one of the, you know, ways that he's changing himself to try and, you know, appeal to others.
Mm-hmm.
So the next chapter, we're back with Daniel and Chin-Ki, our favorite character. At least that's what you said.
What? No, Daniel's my favorite character.
Yeah. So they both go to Daniel's school, and Chin-Ki is like super obnoxious. And he also like answers the right questions for like everything in school. And then Daniel's friends see him with Chinky, and then Daniel like has to explain that it's like his cousin. He doesn't really like hang out with him normally. Daniel gets detention for being late, and then he missed basketball practice. And then that girl that he liked friend zones him. And Daniel's just worried that Chinky is leaving like a lasting impression on Daniel, and that he'll have to like move schools for like the third time. Because right. I guess every year he just shows up and he makes his life miserable and he moves schools.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely like not allowed that you can just go to school with your cousin, right? Like that's definitely not like a thing.
Yeah, like to shadow or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember in school, like people kind of got away with like a lot because there's like, I remember specifically like someone in like my gym class had like this other dude who was just ditching his class. And he was in there. He's like, oh, this is my like cousin. He's like shadowing me or whatever. And I guess you're able to shadow people to see if that was like a school you wanted to go to or something.
Oh,
it was something. And so like gym teachers would be like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. And so and gym teachers hardly know the people in the class anyway.
Yeah, that's
so.
True. Like I could see this. Yeah, I could see you getting away with this in college. Like I go to ASU right now and just sit in a class if I wanted to.
I could probably figure out like an entire degree, you know, except for like those smaller classes where they take roll, you know.
Yeah.
And just going to like lecture halls and take like some classes.
Yeah, there's like 300 people sometimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just sit in there.
Yeah, you break your, you can bring your mom.
I think I sat in like one of my friends' ones sometimes because we were going somewhere right after.
Yeah.
I was just on my phone the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it's just something you could do. So I could see that happening in college, but it's interesting because you can start to see how Daniel just blames Chinky for the bad things happening to him, which is interesting. So like when he gets friend zoned, he's like, I swear to God, I'm not like Chinky, which is like, that is not what's happening here.
Right.
You just don't have the riz.
Yeah.
So that's that chapter. And then the next one, we get introduced to this guy named Wong Lai Sao. He is chosen by that god dude to deliver three packages. And he is assigned the Monkey King as a disciple to help him on his journey. So he convinces the Monkey King to take his normal monkey size and form. And he's like, the Monkey King's really stubborn about it. Wong almost dies to like demons, and the Monkey King has to revert to his normal size, which I guess lets him out from under all the rubble that he's been stuck under for 500 years.
Yeah.
And he, you know, saves him from the demons and he starts to follow him on his journey. But like, that'd be like the thing you think about in like the first
hour,
year. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. The first like couple minutes.
Yeah.
He's like, I feel stuck under all this rock. I wonder if I go back to normal.
Yeah.
If I'll be able to squeeze out. But no, he was there for 500 years. Never thought about it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I like that the Monkey King can ride like clouds. Like
yeah.
He's like a Goku. Dragon Ball character. Yeah, like Goku. But I'm not really sure. Like, I guess I kind of don't really know what the point of like this character was or like this journey. Or I guess I know what the journey was, but like I don't really know the symbolism here, if there is any for this Wong character.
Oh, I don't think so, anything.
Yeah. But next chapter, Jin gets his boy Wei Chen to cover for Jin's parents while Jin goes on a movie date with Amelia. And while he's there, he realizes that his pits stink since his parents don't buy deodorant.
So and he also like rode his bike oh, with her on the handlebars to the movies.
And it looks like he's going uphill.
Yeah.
It's probably hot out. And so while he's there, he's like, he wants to like put his arm around Amelia, but he can't because his pit stinks. So he goes to the bathroom and he washes his pits with like the soap there.
Like the foamy soap.
The foamy soap, which I guess is like a strat, you know, if you're a Chinese kid that whose parents don't buy deodorant.
I guess.
And he makes his move that way.
And then gets the foamy soap on her shoulder.
Yeah. This feels like something that would have actually happened to him. Because, like, this is a very specific scenario,
it
I feel
have.
Like.
And it might have.
He must have, like, heard this as, like, a thing that people do, which is interesting. So, yeah, when they leave the movie, Jin notices that there's soap bubbles on Amelia's shoulder. But he doesn't know if she even noticed. So, Jin asks his boy, Wei Chen, to ask Amelia about it, but, like, in a subtle way. And Amelia's, like, pretty clueless. But later, the dude that Amelia maybe liked before told Jin to stop talking to her because he doesn't think that they're right together. And then Jin backs off. But dude, Wei Chen is an absolute homie. He's like doing all this shit for Jin. He's like covering for him, for his parents. He's like asking Amelia, you know, about the bubble situation.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing everything he can. And then later, Susie talks with Jin about feeling like secluded. Jin gets like that bolt of confidence again, and he like kisses her out of impulse, which then starts a fight between Jin and Wei Chen, since Wei Chen is like dating Susie. And Jin starts to iterate the same thing that he heard from that white dude that he thinks likes Amelia, which is like that he doesn't think that Wei Chen and Susie are right together. And this starts his transformation into a full white dude, which is the Daniel character.
What a twist.
Yeah, which I was like, so he's like white now? And then I realized the next chapter, it's like, oh, it's the white dude from 4.
I guess I had to explain why this white guy has like this like Chinese relative.
I didn't even think about it, to be honest. But how does it feel to have the same name as the basic white guy in this story, Daniel?
Feels great. Couldn't be happier.
Yeah. So I guess he's sold his soul enough and sacrificed enough of himself to where he has transformed into white guy, which is not as cool as a
transformer. His final form.
I would prefer that he transform into a truck, personally, because I know a white guy named Daniel. He's not that cool.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, Daniel, in the next chapter, Daniel has finally had enough of Chin Ki. They get into a fight. Daniel gets his shit absolutely cooked. But it's revealed that Chin Ki is actually the Monkey King, who calls out Daniel for being Jin Wang. This scene where they are fighting is insane, because he's doing all these kung fu moves and he's doing the thing where he names out the kung fu moves, but they're all just Chinese food.
Yeah.
So here's a couple of my favorite. The Mushu Fist, the Kung Pao Attack. What else we got? The General Tso Rooster Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these insane things that are obviously...
How special kick in the nards?
That's a good one too. Man. It's just... Oh, Hot and Sour Wet Willy. That's a crazy one. But anyway, yeah, just an insane fight scene. And then Dana like punches off his head and he's like, it's like a mascot head.
Yeah.
It's like, this whole scene's like crazy, but I understand what they're going for. So we also find out that Monkey King's son is Wei Chen, who was a monkey at first, but he wanted to serve as an emissary to that god dude. And he was given the task of living as a mortal on Earth without succumbing into any human vice. But after Wei Chen and Jin fight, he like goes off on his own, and Monkey King became Chin Ki to help like Jin remember his roots.
Okay.
So it's an interesting strategy to do it, because if you think, you know, I should help him remember who he is at his core, he'd be like a really cool Asian person, you know? And he's like, maybe I could be a really cool Asian person. But instead of that, he just becomes a really racist like Asian right. person. So it's just kind of weird. But I do love this line where the Monkey King says, like, I would have saved myself from 500 years imprisonment had I only realized how good it is to be a monkey. And then there's like that silence right after he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he just like dropped a bar, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. But also, you could have saved yourself from 500 years of imprisonment had you just shrunk a little bit and then shrunk or grown back into your other form.
Yeah, no problem.
So, but anyway, Jin then finds Wei Chen, who like became this gangster dude. And then Jin just apologizes, and then they bond over boba, and that's the end of the book. So I think that wraps up really nice. I had no idea what was going on until like this last chapter, which is like, you know, where everything kind of comes together.
I thought it could have been given another chapter to kind of stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, because it kind of just like ends.
Yeah,
and very quick
with like a lot of kind of I guess context and build up.
Like, why did Wei Chen become with, like, a gangster?
Like 200 pages of just like this normal stuff, and then it wraps up in the last 30. It was just kind of
yeah, it's totally fair.
Abrupt, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else?
No. Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. Our Back Matter is a page that says the end.
Which is nice.
And you know, the copyright page, he says some thank yous, you know, with a little cola can, and then the back page,
which you know, that's totally fair because this isn't a trade.
Oh, and you see other books by Jin Lo and Yang, or Jin Yang.
We do. Oh yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, I would be interested to check out some of these because I liked his art style. So
yeah, so it's seems like a interesting thing to choose as far as adapting, and especially for like a Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
So I'll see. I'd be very interesting to see how they go about that.
I think the main theme and like idea of the book will be fleshed out definitely a lot more. Obviously, because it's like a TV show or movie.
Show,
yeah. So then I think a lot of those concepts will be in there. I think it's like a good overall idea. I don't know if he's going to like morph into a white dude, if they're going to have a super racist caricature of an Asian person.
Right.
But, you know, I'm interested to see what that will look like.
Yeah, I think they'll do it really well.
Yeah. So what would you rate this book? I would rate it, Daniel.
What would you rate it, Nathan?
I would rate it a medium boba.
A medium boba?
But one that I like because it's simple.
Okay.
Like his artwork, but I like boba, so I like this.
I looked up some Chinese desserts.
Okay.
And I don't know if I've had too many of them, but the one that looked the most interesting was Dragon's Beard Candy.
Whoa, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool too. And so, you know, you look at something, it looks pretty cool, and you try it out, maybe it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be the thing I'm most interested in trying.
Okay.
It just looks like something I would like. It's kind of almost looks like somewhat like a taffy, but also maybe like a rock candy. I'm not sure, but it looks cool.
That makes sense because there's like a dragon deity in this. So
yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Because of the dragon god.
Yeah. Clearly. Very, very well thought out.
Yeah.
I just like boba.
Okay. So. Anyway, let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
What are we getting today, Nathan?
Damn, a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get as many number ones, but there's a lot of number ones I couldn't pass up.
Yep, true.
Including Batman Brave and the Bold, number one, which includes Tom King and Mitch Gerrards, which, you know, a little side note, he's going to be at Strange Adventures Comics on Saturday.
He's going to be at Ash on Thursday.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, after he's at my comic shop, he's going to go drink whiskey with the fans. There's like a whiskey place in Santan Mall, I guess. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe I'll share, you know, get a little whiskey.
Yeah.
with him.
Yeah. A little tasting and pretend to like whiskeys.
I won't be able to because we have something else going on at like the same time on Saturday.
Is that the same time?
Yeah, absolute same time. So I have to make a really tough decision.
Marina, sorry.
Whether to support my family or try and have a whiskey with somebody I like and who I don't know, ultimately.
Yeah.
I also picked up World's Finest number 15.
Mm.
Titans number 1 by Tom Taylor and I believe it's Nicola Scott.
Right.
And then The Vigil by Ram V.
So tell me if this, so Vigil's that new DC team book?
New team book, yeah.
Okay. DC?
DC.
Okay.
It's part of the Dawn of DC.
Did that Miss Truesdale in the Fall of Hyperborea come out? That Mike Mignola and Jesse Lonergan book?
No, I would have picked that up.
If you saw it, would you know that's 100%. What it was?
I can recognize a Jesse Lonergan book from a mile away.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up to see if it came out.
If it did come out, my place did not order it.
Is that right?
That's totally right.
Okay. New releases. New what was releases. It, called? It did come out.
What?
Miss Truesdale and the Fall of Hyperborea.
What's that
did,
one?
Did you see this cover?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I remember seeing that cover. I would have picked it up if it was there, but have one at Ash, can you like pick up another one?
What cover do you want?
The Jesse one.
Okay. You got it.
Did you hit X2?
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
So yeah, Brave and the Bold, World's Finest, Miss Truesdale and the Fall of Hyperborea, number one. And I think I'm going to get the Giant Cock Chew number 2 by Jared Duggan and Scott Kolbusch.
Did you read the first one?
I sure did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How was it?
It's pretty fun.
Oh, wait, you talked about it already, huh?
No, I read it yesterday.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It's funny. I can't say I was necessarily surprised by anything, but it you know how like you kind of expect something from something and it's just satisfying because it does that?
When it delivers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what that's happened here. And there's a bit more to it than I honestly thought, which is cool. And
what is the concept?
There's a... Nathan...
Kaiju with a big dick?
Nathan, humans not treating this planet right.
You're absolutely right.
The planet is sick and the planet is fighting back. And they're sending giant Kaiju.
Okay.
To make the world right again, to help it heal.
I like the message.
And it comes out and...
it's got a big dick.
It like shits this like acid that like...
Shits it?
It like shits like some acid or something that has little monsters in it that eat people and it smells really bad.
Okay.
And then it goes and fucks a building.
Okay.
And it's really funny to see from, because like you see from the perspective of like a war general on like a flight carrier or okay. an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Like through binoculars and just seeing it like hump this building is so fucking funny.
Is the panel shaped like the binoculars yeah. thing? No way. Oh, that's so good.
And so it's really funny. And his dick is very interesting looking.
I want to see it now.
No, I guess you gotta buy it.
Yeah, I guess I gotta buy it, yeah.
Or I can just show you. It's fine.
Yeah, you show me after.
And so I'll probably just get that since it's a slow week. I'll see how I feel, you know. I might feel good just buying like 3 books.
You're not gonna pick up Titans by Tom Taylor?
No.
Wow. I picked up The Vigil because Ram V is like pretty good
pretty
most
good.
Of the time.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about Layla Starr.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that was a good ass book.
Mm-hmm. I think about that book a lot.
I do too. I'm like, I need to get it in print. You know?
Yeah, get that deluxe, Nathan.
Because I feel like that's a book not only that you can recommend to somebody that like is new to comics, but somebody that like reads a lot as well. I think could appreciate some of the like some of like those minute like the color details and like the artwork and stuff. So
yeah, it's like
someone that can like appreciate that kind of thing could appreciate that book. And I think somebody that,
but not too complex to where like it's overwhelming.
Yeah, because there's some books where I'm like, I'd only recommend like Black Hammer to somebody that reads a lot of superhero comics.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if it necessarily hit the same for someone just picking it up. Yeah,
and I know that like if I were to have like Sophie read Black Hammer, she'd be like, this person's clearly Thor, you know. What is he doing?
So he's Superman.
That's like, it's always the thing I think about when we watch The Boys. She's like, that's just Superman.
Yeah. What the hell? I need new powers. Like, it'd be so hard if, like, somehow DC just had all the rights for, like, Superman's powers and no one could have, like, just another Superman yeah, character.
No Superman clone. There'd be, like, 50 stories that are just would never exist.
Yeah. But what'd you read, Nathan?
I didn't really read anything this week.
All right, you suck.
Or watch anything.
I read Saga 64.
Oh, okay, nice.
Pretty good.
Okay, nice.
Speaking of Saga, you know what I noticed?
What?
That this arc, the issues are $3.99.
Wow, wait.
Yeah.
Is that an increase?
Yeah, a dollar increase from the 60 previous issues that were $2.99 each.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair.
I should go back to the issue like after that and just read the letters because I'm pretty sure it's all going to be about the price.
Or
maybe
just not.
Or maybe just left that out.
That book is worth it.
Yeah, I'd pay $5 for it. But
once I hit 6, I'm out.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Listen, gas prices is going up. You know, maybe what's the artist's name again? I'm spacing on it. Fiona Staples. Fiona maybe she's Staples. Trying to get a house.
She probably has a house. Anyway, and then I read The Ambassadors, number 4.
I need to read that as well.
I can't remember what happens, but I remember...
What a rousing review.
I'd really just need to see the cover. Oh, no, I remember.
It's Olivier.
Yeah. Very cool. Good issue. This is... So you kind of have like an expectation on like how you think each issue is going to go, but this one is not that, you know? Because it's like, oh, I didn't think someone would get on the team this way, you know?
Okay.
I mean? So, pretty good.
Yeah, I'm interested in where that book is going. I said that last time we talked about it, but yeah.
Did you watch any Visions?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I'll just copy and paste on the next episode.
I may not, but what episode do you want me to watch? I'll write that down, but I'm kind of in a crunch time right now.
Why?
because I'm trying to make not only a Mandalorian costume for Comic-Con in 2 weeks, but also a Bo-Katan costume.
Oh, yeah.
So there's like every single... I haven't even been going to the gym. I've just been like working on it. So that's where most of my time's been going up. Is there another punk rock episode? Because I will watch that.
Yeah, there's four so far.
What?
No.
Oh, I was like, that's awesome.
I've only watched half of them.
Okay.
So there's none that I'm like, you have to watch this now. But there's something to like in all of them, you know?
Okay.
So, you know what? Do your thing.
Okay, I will.
So you watch no movies, no TV, no nothing?
Literally nothing new.
Okay. I watched a movie called Punch Drunk Love. It is a Adam Sandler movie.
Okay, nice.
So Adam Sandler's in it, but he did not write it. It's written by Paul Thomas Anderson.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Comedian, yeah.
No.
Am I thinking of Paul Tompkins?
Probably.
Okay.
So it was great. Came out in like early 2000s, and I just had heard about it a lot from like podcasts I was listening to, and I saw like posters of it randomly. And so I made Sarah watch it, and she was like on board enough because of Adam Sandler. I'm like, I know I can trick her into watching
this. Yeah, you could reel her in that way.
And it's a great movie if you like looking up what the fuck that movie meant. You know?
I know some people like that.
Yeah. So it was like that. And you could tell that the symbolism was there. You just had no idea what the fuck it meant.
Okay.
You know, I was very dumbfounded all week, you know,
just thinking about
all kind of symbolism. And I just couldn't connect the dots. And I looked up what people think on Reddit, and not really that satisfying of explanations.
Really?
But it was just kind of...
Is it because they're like, I don't know?
No, they knew, but it was like, I don't know. It just wasn't that interesting.
Not as deep as you thought or whatever?
Yeah, not as deep or thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah.
So it was short, at least. There was some like funny parts, I guess. But it was overall kind of like a little sad. But it was kind of like a love story and like happy ending and
okay.
things like that. Don't recommend it, but
okay. Yeah, you just watched it. Sure.
Then I watched Billy Madison.
Okay, yeah. Another Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, neither have I. And Sarah was very upset by that. I'm like, I didn't control what I watched before I was born.
I mean,
you know?
Made his whole production company based off that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then like she told Tucker, and he was like, what the fuck? Just the fact that like I haven't seen it. And I was like, like I just watched
that's
like
a wild thing to be like, you haven't seen this?
Yeah, like I saw Happy Gilmore like only like 2 years ago or something, you know?
Yeah.
And so
really,
yeah, I remember when I was talking about that.
I do remember that, but
I talked about it. I looked it up on my notes app, and I talked about it during our Sweet Tooth episode.
Good book.
When the first season came out.
Was
2 years
surprised
ago.
Then or
probably I didn't re-listen to the episode. I just looked at the notes where I wrote it down.
Is that the one where when it ends, like there's like a big thing that falls on the golf course and he like still hits it and manages like
yeah,
go through the hole.
Yeah, it bounces off everything.
What is that machine called where it's like it does...
A windmill?
No. It like is a very complex system to do a very simple task.
Oh, that sounds like something you hear in engineering.
A Rube Goldberg machine?
Oh, I wouldn't have known that.
Never heard of that?
Oh, wait. Say that again?
It's called a Rube Goldberg machine.
Rube Goldberg, two words?
Yeah.
Is that a person?
Yeah.
Okay.
Named after American cartoonist Rube Goldberg.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I figured he was like an engineer or something.
I thought it was just a
But you always
word.
See them on like TikTok where it's like, you know, there's a bunch of shit that happens and at the end they just like spill coffee on like your computer or something.
Yeah. Or like it just cooks toast.
yeah. Anyway, yeah, I have seen Happy Gilmore.
Billy Madison, it's pretty good. It's a pretty Adam Sandler concept. It's this rich kid who is not going to inherit his father's company because he's too irresponsible. And so he goes back and has to pass all of the grades up until high school in order to prove that he's like smart or whatever. So he goes back to like kindergarten.
Okay, nice.
Or first grade or whatever. And...
Is he like getting angry that he doesn't understand math or whatever?
Yeah, shit like that.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty funny. There's some like actually like laugh out loud moments, but I think it's like a funnier movie as like quotes, you know, but not necessarily like in the moment. It's like that funny.
Okay.
But it's probably like goated at the time, you know?
Yeah, probably. Because
I think this is like his first like
the first
big
of that,
one
like, kind of brand of movies.
Yeah. And so Anyway, Nathan, I guess that's the episode this week.
I guess so.
Since I didn't watch enough to make up for what you didn't watch. Do you want to talk about your 3D printing, how that's going?
Yeah, it's pretty fun, pretty hard.
What part are you on?
I want to shout out a YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
Called Frankly Built. He's pretty big on TikTok. He has like this whole room. Yeah, his name's Frank. He has like this whole room where it's like shit that he's built with like 3D printers.
Learn how to make a berserk like sword.
Big ass sword. He has one. Yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah. Which is bizarre to me. But he has printed like 6 Mandalorian helmets just for the purpose of like testing out different paints and shit.
Huh.
Which is like a ton of work.
Yeah.
I think he has like a bigger printer so he could just print it all in one piece. I had to print it in like 4.
Jeez.
And then like weld them together. And that shit's hard. It just makes me want like a bigger printer, to be honest. But
I'll buy your old one.
Yeah, it's
I'll give you $20.
It's super fun. I didn't touch it for like a year, but I'm having like a lot of fun making shit now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know how to like do it better and manipulate some files, because you have to do that sometimes.
Do you have to dust it off?
It's still dusty, but no. Yeah, I did dust it off a little bit. But no, he has like a super cool channel. He just made like a Blue Beetle helmet that he 3D printed. He's always doing like cool shit, like that's like popular like at that moment. He's
like got Ted like Kord or Jaime Reyes.
Jaime Reyes, the one that's like based off the movie.
Yeah,
he did like a Dr. Fate one when like Black Adam was coming out. It looks exactly like it. So he's super knowledgeable on that stuff. And he has like a Discord that I joined because there was something happening. It was super annoying. Like when you first make a print, there's like it's called a raft. It's like a base layer that's like a little bit thicker than like what the bottom of your print's going to be, so that it like stays adhered to the actual plate.
Yeah.
And it was really fucking annoying to get those off. Like I'd have to take like an X-Acto knife and like shave it off like piece by piece pretty much, because it was like sticking to like the bottom of the print.
Yeah.
And it was just like one little setting I needed to do to change it. And I found it on like that dude's Discord. So he's got a pretty cool community too. So.
Nice. Nice.
But that's good. I like cut my hand like trying to just X-Acto knife some shit off. I can't even remember where it is, but yeah, I'm.
Must not have been that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't, but.
So have
he's the goat. Frankly Built.
What shoes are you wearing? Just normal shoes?
Boots.
Yeah, boots?
I'm going to go to the thrift shop and buy boots.
No, okay.
I have to like make a cape as well.
Oh.
But it's an interesting cape because his is like, it almost looks like a scarf in like the front a little bit, and then it turns into a cape. But we went to like Joann's and we bought a thing. I'm going to figure it out.
Okay. Ask Grammy maybe.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Hey, you know how to make a cape?
Yeah. But yeah, like not all of it's going to be 3D printed, obviously.
Are you doing a jetpack or no?
If I have time,
because
I think it'd be really cool to have the jetpack and just like keep my comics in there.
I feel like you'd have to have like straps to it. And if you have it on for like maybe too long,
will get all sweaty or whatever.
Yeah. You reach forward a little bit too much. The straps are pulled. It falls apart.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, most of the things I've printed are pretty strong, actually.
Okay.
Because like I haven't broken anything like trying to like aggressively sand shit down.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So have you printed all the pieces so far?
I'm almost done printing all the pieces for Bo-Katan, which Sophie's going to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot more pieces to print on hers than there is on the Mandalorian. For Mandalorian, it's just like helmet, chest. There's like the shoulders.
Yeah.
And then like there's like almost nothing on like the legs pretty much.
Okay.
But for Bo-Katan, there's like a shin piece. There's like a knee piece, like a knee strap thing. And then there's like a thigh piece. And like some of these I have to print in like 2 pieces. I have to like take the 3D file, I have to like slice it into like 2 or 3 different pieces sometimes.
Yeah.
Print those and then weld them together. Right.
Right.
So there's like a lot of those for Bo-Katan. So hopefully the Mandalorian stuff will be easy. It'll be easier to paint too, because I'm just doing shiny. So I'm just spray painting it.
Yeah.
So I assume it'll be done on time. But I have my printer fucking running like every day. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So I'm trying to make it work.
Just some ambient noise while you're working.
Yeah. Thankfully, my Surface device like cuts out any background noise. It's like got the newest model has like AI or some shit in it, so where it cuts out like background noise, and it's really effective
for like meetings and stuff.
Yeah. And I tested it too, because I was like, hey, sorry if you can hear like the leaf blowers outside, you know, some people, you know, we're gonna right when I have a meeting, of course. And they're like, no, I don't hear anything. And that was my way of testing to see if they could hear me 3D print shit.
Was there actually leaf blowers?
No, it was my 3D printer. It makes like,
did it sound like a leaf blower?
No, but it makes like a soft ambient noise, and it's close enough to my computer where I'm like, this could come up.
I don't hear any leaf blowers, but I think, do you have a 3D printer?
That would be so funny. Are you printing something right now?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going pretty good.
Cool. So I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. We'll post pictures.
Yeah. So what are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
What are we reading next week?
So we got
a Marvel thing, probably, if we don't have anything lined up.
So we got an empty week, and then our June's pretty fucking full, and then July's a little bit more chill.
Okay.
So kind of whatever we want. You want to do like a Eisner-nominated book?
Yeah, we could. Okay. Is there a Marvel one in there that we want to do? Or
we'll be doing Spider-Verse the following week, which I think we'll probably just do like Ultimate Spider-Man, right?
Okay, yeah.
So
let's look.
So we can do like literally like anything.
We have Superman Space Age?
No.
Why not?
Because it's like two issues.
It's three. Three oversized issues. The trade just came out.
What else?
Batman, One Bad Day.
That's like a one shot, dude.
That's a best. It's a limited series. Nightwing.
You want to read all like eight of them?
We have Killadelphia.
That's a horror book. We'll wait for horror month.
Oh, true. Public Domain.
I would want to do that if like we're able to get Chip on.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we'll reach out to him. But
I think we should read things that we haven't read. You know, just so that we have a better idea of who we think should win for when we vote. Of course.
Yeah, for when we're on the panel.
Right.
Get ahead of when we have to read 100 books.
Exactly.
She-Hulk. Astro City.
So you want to do two She-Hulks before we do even one Hulk book?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's very progressive podcast we have here.
I don't know. Suggest something.
All right. You pick your favorite and I'll pick mine.
Okay.
And then we'll do the old coin flip, Nathan.
We should do a best lettering book.
You know, this is some top tier lettering right here.
Do you think when it comes to like best lettering, they just have Stan Sakai permanently like top of the list of like who to nominate?
Yeah. Does anyone want to take off of last year? Everybody except Stan. Thing with the Blaze comics is I don't think they have like any trades like yet.
Right.
Like they just have printed like individual issues, which is bizarre.
We could do I Hate This Place, which was nominated for Best Humor Publication.
Okay. Is that your nomination?
I think so, because I have either read or don't want to read the rest. So okay. Let me see.
I think I will nominate Ducks.
Wow.
No,
okay.
I'm just kidding.
We can.
Nah, I don't want to. I'll do It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, an autobiographic novel.
Okay. I think that one's pretty long, but I do like that artist.
No, I looked up. It's like 120 or something.
Oh, let's just do that.
No, we're flipping for fun.
No, I don't want to do this anymore.
You don't want I Hate This Place anymore?
I thought It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth was like much longer, but we could flip. What do you choose? You call in the air.
I'm flipping. You have to call it. Or do you want to flip and I call it?
I'm not good at flipping, so.
You're not good at flipping a coin?
I don't know. Let me try.
All right. Let's see your attempt live.
This is a really clean coin.
It's a quarter.
2020 coin. Very nice.
That was when the shortage happened.
Have you seen that guy on TikTok that just like looks at coins and he sells them? He's like, oh, this is a 1957 coin. This one actually has a little fuck up in the corner here.
And ooh, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, no. He's like so smart. And he's like, this actually from this year, they fucked up in the corner here. And if you find one of those, they're worth $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, call in the air.
Tails.
It's tails. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, is it heads?
It was heads.
Oh, okay.
I want to do It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth. I think that's going to be like a really good book. I don't know if I Hate This Place is going to be. So
it was nominated, Nathan.
Well, you know what? We'll read it if we are panel judges, which we will be.
I can't wait to make the thumbnail for this one where it's like, It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth. Like just try and fit it into like our picture.
Yeah, I like that.
So cool. Bye. Yeah, that's Zoe Thorogood from Image. And
fuck, what was her other book? Hold on, I gotta look it up now.
Rain?
No. The one that I read that I liked.
For some reason I've been following her on Twitter.
The Impending Blindness of Billy Scott, that's what it was.
Huh.
She like is an artist that is like gradually blind.
You did tell me about this.
Yeah, it's really heartfelt. So
okay.
I think this is gonna be really good. Anyway, we'll do that.
Cool.
thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. Yeah, thanks. I'll make sure to read and watch more stuff while Nathan continues to print things. We'll have more to talk about.
I'll try and watch some Visions. How about that?
Yeah.
Are they smaller episodes? They're like 10 minutes, right?
15 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
They go by really fast. They pack it in.
Okay.
You can't just like have it in the background.
Yeah, I apologize.
Be gone too fast. It's okay. All right. Goodbye. All right. No. Thanks for watching. There's other parts.
Yeah, fuck you. Goodbye.
If you thought this episode was too short, just watch it again. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. If you want to tell us what you think should win,
give us your Eisner. Who's your Eisner or LeBron?
Best graphic memoir. Let us know.
Tell us your LeBrons.
You can email us at traverspod@gmail.com. Give us some recommendations. Link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff.
If I could use you as a reference for when I apply for the Eisners, email in. Yeah. And just vouch. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.